Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
G'day and welcome to another edition of International Marmalade. It's your bonus monthly episode in the Australian Jams feed. My name is Mick Severett and sitting across from me through the computer screen is the one, the only...
I'm Gemma. Hello.
I was building this big like introduction up. We're really trying to start really fresh and... and really into it, and then it's, I'm Gemma. You it's know, your show.
You know that I like throwing you off. That's my favorite thing to do, just like completely ruin anything you try to do. I'm sorry. Yeah, hey, what's going on?
Not a lot. It is my week off, so I've been heading outside heaps.
That's nice.
For my, you know, my 1 hour allowed exercise. It's been kind of nice not to have to worry too much about ensuring my students are doing okay, although they've all got big assessments due, or one of my classes had big assessment due at the end of next week.
Yeah.
So at the end of week 7. So I've been fielding a few emails. You know,
yeah.
I reckon they'll do all right. I have faith in them.
My students from last trimester had their final assessment due last week, and it's a very tight turnaround to the following trimester, so you have to mark really quickly. And then if anyone submits late, then there's a chance that they just fail because they can't be passed into the next trimester fast enough. And it's just like trying to get this through to them. For the past 6 weeks, I've been telling them to work on it, to just get it done early, you know, all those things that you tell students and like having individual conversations with them about their topic and making sure they understand what it's about, because this one's a little bit confusing. And, you know, the number of emails I got the week of being like, oh, it just got really busy this week. I was just like, you should have done it earlier. And it's just like, I know uni students don't think this way, but it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. 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 Especially if you're teaching first years, that's just something like you find yourself drumming into them. But I reckon if you start to sound like a broken record, then that's great. Because the more they hear it, the more they realize, oh, shit. And the more they realize after they really stuff up that second assessment, they think, oh, you know what? Maybe I should be planning better for this.
Or they drop out, which is the fine line you walk. I did have to fail someone. I did have to. This is the second time in two trimesters I've failed someone, which, you know, I don't actually feel guilty about, which is probably not a good thing. But like,
for the whole
I tried
trimester.
To help you. This one was worth 45%. So effectively, if you fail this one and didn't get outrageously high marks on the others, you're pretty much done.
Yeah, right, yep.
But just like, I tried, had many one-on-one chats with this person. They didn't listen to me. I don't know what else I could do. Anyway, I have been picked up for another trimester of teaching, so apologies in advance to my new students.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I am somewhat looking forward to the second half of my semester. So our semesters, when we have semesters, you have trimesters, right? So,
yeah,
I've got another 6 weeks, and that is pretty much when all of the assessments are due. So it's going to be a full-on teaching four classes and then marking...
Four classes.
Yeah, 90 students or whatever it is. It's going to be fun.
It's the marking it's that kills you, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. It's, no, sorry, it's more than 90. It's between 90 and 100, I think. Yeah, the marking is the worst part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best part. If you're marking a really great piece of work, it's, like, really rewarding, but it's just very tiring, more to the point, I think.
You have to focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what else I was going to say. Should we talk about music?
Yeah, look, let's do it. I reckon talking about teaching and the pains of marking assessments ain't really what folk are listening to us for.
I mean, it could be interesting for those who don't teach. Could be interesting for those who do teach.
Could be interesting for those as students of either one of us. Yeah.
Hopefully. A peek behind the curtain. Listening. Oh, God. Now I'm really paranoid. Anyway.
And so, Gemma, what's first up?
Today, let's start with London Grammar. Because it's September now, and to make it about myself... as I always do. 3 years ago, I had, like, big life changes happen through September. One of which was having a full knee reconstruction the day after my birthday. So, the day of my birthday, what I did was I went to see London Grammar play at Margaret Court Arena, and it was, like, one of the most beautiful experiences you could have. And I've seen London Grammar in a few different situations, like, you know, sitting on the hill at Falls Festival as the sun's going down, watching them play, like, that's just, like, such an incredible experience. And then to see them in an arena was so different, but equally impressive. And given it was at Margaret Court Arena, they also made the statement about equality and, you know, all those sorts of things, because, you know, Margaret Court is an awful person. So every time I think of London Grammar, I think of those two moments in my life, which is really nice. So having them back in September feels very, like, cohesive to me. I just hit my mic, so sorry if that's a sound there, everyone. I do move my hands a lot when I talk. So they have released a new song called Baby It's You. I've just missed them, and I love hearing her voice again. I love how her voice is used quite differently in this one compared to what they have in the past. It's usually very soaring and, I don't know, like, very intense vocal. In this one, the register is a little bit different. They're using a lot more of her higher register in the way she's singing it. It's slightly more popish, I guess, and it's just a really catchy song for what London Grammar do. So it's melding those two things, and I haven't explained that very well, but I really like this song.
Yeah. I feel as though we've gone for, like, kind of comfort songs in a way this week. One of your other selections feels very kind of comforting as well, and I know, well, at least two of mine are sort of based in a sense of nostalgia. Yeah, I find this song really warm and comforting. And I mean, we haven't spoken about your other song, the Bianco and Jack Sanderson song yet, but I feel as though that alongside this London Grammar tune, I kind of wonder whether this is indicative of the kind of music that we're going to start seeing more of at this time in history, you know, due to everybody kind of reassessing. And I think we might have spoken about something like this a few episodes ago, but it feels very safe, not in a derogatory way, like safe in a...
like safety it makes rather a listen- than... Yeah.
It makes a listener feel safe.
Yeah.
It's not safe music at all. Yeah, and I just wonder whether there's something about the moment that is enforcing kind of this kind of way of creating.
This batch very much seems like the kind of music that was being written in March, you know, like when everything had started and like in earnest, I guess, in the Western world, and everyone was new to the situation and all of that sort of stuff. I think in 3-4 months' time, we're going to see a bit more aggression / depression in music, you know, because they're just like, oh, this sounds so lame, but just like there's a lag in testing results, like the tests today represent what was happening 2 weeks ago type thing. I think the music that comes out now is representative of a couple of months ago, and the music that's going to come out in a couple of months will be representative of today. And I think that's what's interesting about it.
Mm. Anyway. Yeah, true. I'd forgotten about the delay, I guess, that happens in terms between writing and releasing.
Yeah.
And it's less of a delay now, but because of, you know, newfangled technology. But across history, that's sped up so much. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But yeah, this London Grammar song, it's beautiful. And the artwork is really incredible as well. So, like, it's just a beautiful photo of fire over water, kind of. Very dark. The colours in it are beautiful. Have you noticed that there's a lot of, like, blues and oranges being used in a lot of artwork and things like that recently?
I haven't, but I was, my partner was on YouTube yesterday, and I think had seen, as she's scrolling through, saw an interview with BTS, and she doesn't know much about, you know,
K-pop band, BTS.
Yeah, the biggest band in the world, BTS. She doesn't know much about that kind of music and sort of was asking me about it, and I don't really know as much as I perhaps would like to. But then she found the clip of theirs, and it's so pastel. There seems to be a real, like, peach, like, almost aqua blue kind of aesthetic at the moment. And, yeah, I do wonder whether it's reflective of the time or whether it's just a cycle.
Yeah. Oh, it was interesting. This is going way off track now, but it's still relevant to the teal and orange type thing. I was watching because, again, I feel like I need to clarify why I was watching this. I don't need to, but I will anyway. I'm very bored in lockdown. And I decided to watch that AP Bio show on Stan with Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny. It's got Patton Oswalt in it.
Oh, okay.
Who we all love. The filters that they might... At first I noticed that Glenn Howerton's eyes were like a really intense blue, and then I noticed a few others had that. I was like, what is happening? So I was looking it up, and a lot of people have commented online about how the filters that they use is like enhances all the oranges and blues in the set, and they use a lot of those colours because that's the school colours and blah, blah, blah. So I noticed that. But it reminded me of albums like DMA's had a similar colour scheme. I think Beyond had a similar colour scheme. There's a few others that I've seen recently that use the teal and orange combination, which I think looks great. But I just think it's interesting that there's a lot of it at the moment.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, we were talking about London Grammar. Should we listen to a bit of the song?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is called Baby It's You. It's by London Grammar. We'll come back. And nothing else matters. Heard a bit of Baby It's You by London Grammar. That was my first song of the day. Mixes up.
Yeah. I don't even know when this record came out, but Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix was
2007?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I could probably just look it up, but I'm not going to. Yeah, thanks, Trevor. That was such a... It was one of the biggest records of the year.
2009, I was wrong.
Oh, okay. 2009. I mean, that era. It was one of the greatest. You know, Phoenix were already a great band before that. But that really gave them a lot of, dare I say, crossover appeal with songs like Listomania. I didn't realize that they'd been making new music, though. I mean, this is, I think, maybe a one-off single. It's for a film called On the Rocks, and it's actually directed by Sofia Coppola. I keep on saying her last name wrong. Which is Thomas Marr's lead singer's wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought, oh, there is a connection there, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's because they're married, gosh.
Italian marrying a French dude. That's questionable.
Yeah. So this is... Yeah, I feel like kind of a return to form. It feels a bit more electronic than the more indie dance band-based stuff of yesteryear. And of course, they've released stuff since 2009. That's not like they've been dormant for 10 years. Yeah, but this one just really belts. I really love this. That's all I got to say on it.
That's okay. I was just thinking of how to say this. I can't speak today, apparently. I like this song.
Oh.
But it's a little bit boring to me. Like, it's not a single to me. It feels like it's been written for the film, and it's not written as a single, if that makes sense. Yeah. Not that every song has to be a single, but when you see Phoenix, you think it's going to have these, like, bigger choruses, I guess, more dynamic in it, and it just felt very kind of flat the whole way through. It's still a really good song, and I still like it, but I don't think it's a... Like, Listomania is always going to be the pinnacle of Phoenix to a lot of people, right? And I just don't think it's there.
Yeah, no, look, I agree with you. It's not at the excitement kind of level that something like Listomania brought up. But, I mean, it still uses similar tropes.
Yeah, and you can tell that it's Phoenix and all that sort of stuff. But, like, you can tell this wasn't a song that was written... that was then used in a film. You can tell that this was written for a film and written for a purpose.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, as compared to... Like, if you think of the Lord song that was used in Hunger Games, like, that was written for the film. It wasn't a Lord song.
Just trying to think
of that song in my head. But yeah, it'll be popular because the film makes it popular. And it's not bad. But it's not what Phoenix does best.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. Now I'm contemplating whether it was the best choice. I mean, I still love this song.
No. Don't feel bad.
No. I mean, I chose this in a bit of a... Like, I chose my songs over the weekend and in a slight bit of a rush. Really.
Dude, I sent you my songs, like, late yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it looked true.
I'm very bad at doing things on time in lockdown. I've lost all sense of urgency, I guess, / organization / remembering what day it is. Today's Thursday, though. I do know that it because is. The one standing engagement I have every single week is on a Thursday afternoon. So that's how I know that it's Thursday. Anyway, do we want to listen to a bit of this?
Yeah, let's hear a small chunk of this one. It's from Phoenix. It's called Identical. That was Phoenix with Identical. Gemma, we're on to your second song.
We are.
What do you got?
So I've chosen Benny's new song, Snail. In my head, this came out a long time ago. And then when I actually looked at the release date, I was like, oh no, I can actually choose this song for this episode. I really like Benny. I like the weird pop vibe. It's almost like, okay, this is gonna be really weird to say, and I'll probably regret it as soon as I say it, but like, it's almost like a ska version of pop with the cadence of a lot of what Benny does. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like jumpy.
So I would sort of say kind of calls upon, like, just in a very general sense, elements of hip-hop, especially when the what she kind of does, the syncopated kind of speak sing thing. Yeah, but when you said ska, I thought, oh my god, yeah, it does have that kind of syncopated offbeat kind of thing to it.
Yeah. So and I like how that's been warped into this fun pop thing and continues to kind of and in my head, like, Find an Island is the song that is my favorite, I guess, Benny song, and what everything then gets compared to in a way, kind of like talking about Phoenix and how everything gets compared to Listomania. I think that this one's really interesting because it does have that syncopated thing, but also just in the chorus of course, and then throughout the rest of it, it does show us a little bit more about Benny than just everything else that she's released so far. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I just think Benny's a fascinating character as well. She looks like Bjork and does this weird pop, but like accessible weird pop, whereas Bjork is more weird pop.
Yeah. I mean, I think compared to your other choices, and you've already used this word, but this feels like your weird choice this week or this month. I think this is great. Like, I love that weird kind of wonky pop production thing. Kaleidoscopic is the other word that keeps on coming to mind. Especially in some of the production. In, like, the verse bits. I love it. I think it's very, very cool.
So, for our listeners, I didn't know that Mix did this, but apparently while we talk he plays each song faintly through his headphones, and now, like, everything makes more sense
with my very specific references.
Well, that, and also sometimes it takes you a second to say something because clearly you're listening to what's going on.
So I thought I'd sort of mastered just having it in the background and being able to tune in whilst also talking.
No, it's good. Listener. Maybe I should start doing that. Maybe next time. Both of us
just click play at the same time.
Yeah, or just, you know, play it through the thing. Somehow. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, this song's a jam. Let's listen. This is called Snail. It's by Benny, and we'll come back. As I wake, down goes day. Out comes night, look alive. And I'll meet you in the park. The moon will light up my path. Everything's passing by. A Bit of Snail by Benny. That was my second song. Mix is up.
Yeah, my second song is from a Colombian DJ, producer, incredible musician called Alaminus. And the song title is in Spanish, so apologies for butchering the pronunciation, but El Cielo No Es De Nadie. I think that's okay.
I think it's pretty well.
I typed it into Google Translate, and apparently it translates to Heaven Belongs to Nobody.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is such a jam. It kind of completely blows me away each time I listen to it. I think it feels so easy. Like, it feels, in terms of its production, it doesn't feel, I mean this with utmost respect, but it doesn't feel all that challenging. But as a result, because of this ease, it feels so unifying too. You know, there's definitely a thing that, to be said, that I guess I'm sort of searching for particular kinds of music as we're coming towards the end of our lockdown.
Hopefully.
And some of these songs, like my last pick is especially, but this one is quite different to my last pick in terms of energy level.
Very different. And then we're going to get whiplash going to your next one.
Yeah. It sort of pushes towards that late night motivation kind of, oh yeah, I can listen to this and get a few things done. I mean, because that's all you can do late at night at the moment in Melbourne.
Yep.
Yeah, she's been around for a couple of years and is set to release their debut full length called Acts of Rebellion in October. I really love this one. It's such a jam. It makes me feel super kind of upbeat and like, yeah, let's just get on with it.
I've kind of fucked with you while you've been talking about this, haven't I?
You have a bit.
I've just been like putting stories up on Instagram. So you felt like you haven't been able to throw to me, right? I've just been...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I
said... You're just trying to, like, extend. I'm just doing that on purpose just to fuck with you because I'm a child.
It's your favourite pastime.
It really, really is. Like, I live for this moment each month.
It wouldn't be International Marmalade with a bit of fucking with each other. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm still, you know, just typing on my Instagram story. Everyone follow me, Australian Jams, on Twitter, on Instagram, both of them. Oh, fuck. This song, the beat / production in this, I love, especially the vocal mix. The way the vocals mixed in, I love it so much. Like, this is such a cool song. I had never heard of Alaminus. Thank you for bringing this. This is so cool.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think the way the vocal, like, it doesn't sit in that traditional kind of top line thing. The voice very much feels part of the production, just another instrument in the mix.
Yeah, it's sick. Yeah. And, like, that's the thing I like as well, is you're not afraid to bring non-Western... Are you still laughing at me typing on my phone?
No, I mean, I think I am slightly afraid to bring non-Western artists to the show. Yeah.
Why?
I don't think I do it that often. Because, I mean, so I source this music through various means, primarily through a few playlists that are my go-tos on Spotify. That's how I find out about the majority of this international music. And I think I found out about this one via... the Vinyl Me Please playlist, maybe.
Yeah.
Did I? Yeah, I did. So on rotation at Vinyl Me Please, that's always great. Each and every week. But very rarely do I end up choosing something that is non-Western, I think. I guess Oliver Arnold's isn't technically... It's not from an English-speaking country.
Yeah.
But he makes very familiar-sounding music, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Not that we've spoken about him yet.
Yeah, not to forward announce too much.
I don't know. I think you're much more willing to take risks with your song choices than maybe I am. I'm very much like rusted on fan of a lot of artists that will automatically make the cut. I mean, presuming I like the song.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of my favourite international bands release a song I'll most likely include. Oliver Arnold's is sort of up there on my list. I mean, Phoenix, that's half the reason why I included Phoenix this week. This month, sorry. is because I love them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just maybe feel... Anyway, this is so going off the rails. Should we throw to this song and regather ourselves?
Yes, let's do it. This is a small little bit of Ella Minus with El Cielo No Es De Nadie. En tus ojos, señor, la niña que te separa a ti, en mi casa es más de, tengo miedo de perder. En tus ojos, señor, la niña que te separa a ti, en mi casa es más de. That was a bit of Ella Minus with El Cielo No Es De Nadie. Gemma, what have you got coming up for your final song?
So it feels appropriate that last month I did a special shout out to Jax Anderson at the start of the episode. Being like, oh, this EP is so great and no one's talked about it enough. So I'm going to talk about it randomly in August, months after it came out. And then, this month, I have Jax Anderson guest vocal on Bianca's song called 18. So I'm very happy with my timing there. This song has such a great groove to it. So Bianca is like a DJ producer out of LA who's done some really cool stuff. And then layering Jax Anderson's kind of vibe into there has just turned it up to 10 for me. I love the way the vocals are used in this song, but in particular, I love those choral kind of vocals, the harmonized vocals throughout the chorus, and that just fucking kills me because, you know, vocals and harmonies are everything to me, and the way it's done in this, and I listened to this song so many times yesterday. Like, if you look at my Last FM page, you'll see how many times I just kept going back to listen to this song yesterday because I just love it so much. And this song makes me really happy. All the imagery that they've done for it across social, all that sort of stuff, it's so cool. The videos, everything. I think this is a pairing that can kind of set each of them up individually for a lot more success going forward as well. I feel like this is really like a dynamic pairing, not just for this song, but showing off what they can do to other audiences to then grow themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm so glad you sent this over because this is not something I would have typically listened to. It feels really breezy. Like,
crazy?
I mean, I know there's a line in there, like, everything's easy. There's something like, I don't know, I am going to invent this genre right now, but breeze pop.
Breeze pop? Boop, 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 boop. That's the tune.
Yeah. I think I especially appreciate how, at least in the first half, how pared back things sound, how pared back the production is.
Yeah.
And those, even the little vocal, like almost like backing vocal lines, in a weird sort of way, similar to the Ella Minor song in terms of they become part of the instrumentation.
Mm. Yeah.
That weird kind of slidey, oops, I just knocked my mic.
Oh, we've both done it today. Hey, yay.
Knock the Mic Club. Welcome to another edition of Knock the Mic Club.
Bad audio quality club. Oh, shit.
No, I'm so glad you sent this over.
And I think the cool thing about it, and I think maybe the reason I love it so much, is if this had come from an Australian artist, I would fully believe you. I feel like this is very kind of in line with what a lot of Australian artists are doing right now, and I think that is really cool.
It feels a bit Alice Ivy-esque.
Well, Jax Anderson did guest on an Alice Ivy song.
Oh, hey, true.
Which is my favourite, or almost my favourite Alice Ivy song. The Odette one has probably jumped it. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, I wish I was more eloquent so I could explain it better how it makes me feel. But I just love this song so much. And Jax Anderson has the coolest range of merch. It's like American summer camp merch. It's so cool. I want to buy all of it, but also shipping is really expensive to Australia, so I won't be doing that. Yeah, very cool. This song is great. Do you have any more words about it?
Nah. Just that I really, really love it. And thanks for sending it through.
I did tweet about it about midnight last night, so hope everyone appreciated that. I do most of my work really late at night nowadays because there's too much football on and there's also netball on. So I get really, you know, I lose lots of hours watching those things. Let's listen to this song. It's called 18. It's by Bianco with two eyes and it's featuring Jax Anderson. Can't wait till I'm 18. Nobody can judge me. I'm gonna move to a city. Was a bit of Bianco called 18 featuring Jax Anderson. I said that weirdly, but we'll take it. Mix, your last song.
My last song. Let's just kind of bring it down. Not bring it down.
We go from like this bop to this.
Yeah. To some almost very peaceful, sleep-inducing, contemplative music. So people that know me and my, I guess, reasonably diverse music tastes will know that I have a real soft spot for piano-based kind of neoclassical, although this one's a bit safer than neoclassical kind of music. I think I've always sort of had a soft spot for music that isn't deemed to be popular music. And uses piano
you're
and
cool
strings.
Like that.
Yeah, because I'm cool, you know. No.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And yeah, like people like Nils Fram, I just absolutely love. And Sophie Hutchings is another really great producer as well. Oliver Arnolds is someone who I've known the name, but I never really took the time to get into them. I was actually talking about him to some of my students to bring it
full
360
circle.
Back to teaching. I've been trying to start some of my classes with some low-key kind of meditative music just playing on my Google Home thing behind me. And students like, oh no, I find it starts the class well. It starts me off well. And I find I'm able to run class better.
I should just
smash
the glass animals record to people really loudly when they log on to class.
I'm conscious of turning people away. Not that that's not meant to be a comment on glass
animals. It's offensive to glass animals.
But I played some of Oliver Arnold's did this collaborative album with Nils Frams called Trance Friends. Friends spelled FRENZ because, you know, they're cool. This one, We Contain Multitudes from Home. That's the name of this song that we're about to play. Feels, I don't know, very of the moment. There's such a beautiful way the piano is captured in this kind of music to me. Like, you always hear, like, the damper pedal go on and you hear the hammers hit the strings. It feels like as much focus is placed into you hearing the product. I hate using that word to describe music, but the product being made as you actually hearing the finished work as well.
Yeah.
Like, it. That just feels very, at the risk of sounding like a true wanker, very profound to me at this moment to notice both the way in which it's being made in the final work. Yeah.
So, there's there's something in that, like being able to hear strings move on a guitar, on an acoustic guitar, or being able to hear a singer take a breath, things like that.
Mm.
It's very, like, intimate, I guess.
Yeah. I guess maybe this is why it has such an emotional effect on me too. It brings you into that moment.
Yeah.
Almost instantly. It brings you, like, next to him playing piano or... you know, when you hear a singer take a breath, it brings you into that room where they're actually recording. Like, there's something... Yeah, intimate is a great word to describe this.
Yeah, and we're having a very serious conversation here, but I can't stop laughing because all I can... because all I can think of... again, it's football related, but there's a commentator... it's the breath thing that's getting me. There's a commentator... named Alistair Lynch, who's like a boundary rider up at the Brisbane Games. And someone commented about how you can hear him, like, gasp for breath between sentences. And once you are told about that, you can't unhear it. And it's like a death rattle. It's like really horrifying. And now that I've noticed that it's like, really awful to listen to, and that's all I could think of when we were talking about that. I'm really sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether I'll ever be able to listen to this kind of music ever again, because all I'll focus in on is, oh god, that the way that felt pedal is placed out. I'm really hearing that much more than the actual tone.
In the music context, it's actually really nice. In the commentary context, it's like, this guy's dying. Someone help him. But back to the song. This song is so beautiful. And as I mentioned earlier, I do everything at really weird hours of the night. I was preparing my notes for this really late at night last night because I left things to the absolute last minute. And it was such a nice song to listen to in the still and like quiet of 1 a.m. in Melbourne with a curfew when there's no cars going past outside. Like, it was just... And then to listen to it through headphones, it's very touching, I guess. Touching, is that the right word?
Yeah. Well, it's moving.
Well,
at least it is to me.
Yeah, I'm sure to people that have emotions, definitely. For me, it was just like calming is probably the word. It was calming to me.
Yeah, sure. This is a bit of Oliver Arnold's with We Contain Multitudes from Home. That was Oliver Arnold's with We Contain Multitudes from Home. Gemma, we're done. What do you got coming up for the next month before we speak again?
Well, this episode is coming out on the Wednesday, the 9th of September, I think. I just counted backwards. Yeah. So, Sunday is Mix's birthday, 35?
Oh, I wish. 36.
36th birthday to Mix on Sunday. So, happy birthday to Mix for that. Everyone go and tweet nice things at him or Instagram nice things at him.
Yeah.
Instagram's harder. Tweet is better. Come on, mate.
Yeah.
So, that's the first thing I wanted to shout out there. 13th of September, everyone be nice to Mix on that day. I mean, you can be really mean to him on other days, but on the 13th, be really nice.
Can I also interrupt you, though, and say that the following Saturday, the 19th, is Gemma's 30th, the big 3-0, and that's a far more important birthday than a measly 36. So definitely go find Gemma on Twitter or Instagram and tweet lovely, nice things at her. Because I know you're already doing it all the time already. Just amplify it more on the 19th of September.
You're so much nicer than I am. Also, people are not nice to me online. Let's establish that right now.
I've seen some pretty nice things.
It's probably 50-50. The people that I know are nice to me. The people that I don't know are very mean to me. Which is fine. It comes with the territory of being a woman talking about sport. What have I got coming up? Well, I just literally, as we were talking just then, got an email from a footy player that I'm going to interview. So that's cool. Set that up.
Very cool.
What else? Doing a lot of siren stuff, which is really fun. We have been working on an internship program, which has been so fun and so fulfilling to work with Deakin Uni, which neither of us work at. I used to work at Deakin, actually.
Yeah, not anymore. I still work at Deakin.
Oh, you do work at Deakin. Why did I think Swinburne?
My research job is at Deakin.
Well, there you go. So you work at Deakin. Our intern is from Deakin, and it's like a legit intern program. It's not like work for free. It's going toward her semester unit, which is really, really exciting. And she's wonderful. She's been so fun to work with, and just the whole idea of Siren was to not only amplify the coverage of women's sport, but to improve the opportunities for women in sport media and things like that. So that directly goes into this internship program, and we're also currently working on developing an Indigenous intern program. It's like a intern to work kind of thing with an Indigenous organization, where the intern / recipient, I guess, would actually get paid to work for us for a period of time, which is really, really cool as well, because
fantastic.
Yeah, it's not just about talking about women's sport and getting more coverage of that. It's about creating opportunities for women. Like, me 10 years ago would have never thought that these things existed. So being able to create stuff like this is incredibly exciting to me, and it's really boosted a lot of what we've done, which is fun. Get to speak to Brielle this afternoon, which is going to be fun because she's just like an absolute jet as well. She knows so much. She is really intelligent. She also plays rugby in Tasmania. She's so cool. Yeah. I wish that I was as cool as Brielle. What else have I been doing? Trying to think. It was my cousin's 30th birthday yesterday, and she lives alone and in isolation as well. So my brother and I went on a mission to find the biggest possible bouquet of flowers that could be delivered to her, and made that happen. And they're bigger than her, and she cannot put them anywhere but the floor. So I think we succeeded in that mission. So that made me very happy yesterday as well. So I think that's all of my updates for now.
Yeah. I've got a few things, I guess, kind of coming up. Second half of semester starts on Monday. Would have started on Monday by the time folk are hearing this.
Yeah, that's true.
So that'll be fun, and you know, you got some work lined up for the rest of the year, which is always nice. And I'm very, very lucky and fortunate, of course, especially in these unprecedented times.
So sick of the word unprecedented.
Oh my God, I was thinking, do you think we'll just like cancel that word after this whole thing? But in the midst of, you know, when it rains, it storms. I've decided it'd be a great idea to...
Yes. Launch... I totally forgot about this. Yes.
I'm going to launch a new podcast series, and I need your help, you dear listener, but also Gemma, if you want to help out too, you can.
Oh, fuck. I promised I would do this, and I haven't done it yet.
No, it's all right.
I will do it this time.
I'm still collecting the first batch of them. So the show is called Outside World, and I guess as we kind of come towards the latter stages of stage four, I've found myself more and more struck by literally what is happening outside my door as I'm constantly kind of sitting inside. It's also made me kind of consider how places sound. And the differences that there is a delivery just happening, I think, which my partner is getting. So apologies if this little spiel now sounds a bit strange. But yeah, the whole idea of the show is it's going to be a podcast feed with recordings from folk around Australia, and hopefully I'm able to get a few international ones too. Where you can either place your phone outside your door on your balcony, or if you're going on a walk, bring your phone out on a walk, use the voice memo app or whatever voice recording app you've got on your phone, record 10 to 15 minutes, just introduce yourself at the beginning. So like for me, it's, hi, I'm Mix, I'm from Flemington. And then send it through to mix@mixeverett.com. And I'll have a play around with it, and it might be featured in the Outside World podcast feed.
I'm just writing down the notes there that I need to include in the show notes below so everyone can remember.
Hopefully, that's exciting. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out too, there will be a trailer episode released as well. I finished putting together a trailer for the show a few days ago, so I'm hoping that once I get a few coming in, I can then start to share them.
That's exciting.
I feel like it's exactly kind of what we need right now. It's something that I've been drawn to, that soundscape sort of audio stuff.
I love how when we record these episodes, there's so many examples of how we are completely different people. This being one of them, like the idea of sitting down and just editing hours of audio, horrifying to me to the point where I put it off until the last possible moment. And then it's like an average job, but give me like stats to look at. I'll spend hours doing that. Not a problem. Whereas you are the exact opposite. Why don't I get you to edit these episodes?
Well, I mean, you're not going to pay me for it though. So
No one pays me for anything.
No, I know. True. Yeah. I mean, I could. If we had good internet secrets, then I could send everything back to you.
I mean, I'll use my data for that shit. Yeah, this is exciting, though. This is an exciting prospect. I will do mine for you as well. So if everyone, like, maybe if it's any good, you'll include it and everyone can listen out for
my busy streak. I guess the only kind of thing to remember is if it's windy and potentially don't record if it's windy, because sometimes that just distorts the sound and you can't actually hear, you know, the birds or the cars driving past you or whatever. Record, maybe better to record 15 minutes, and then if there is anything that I can edit out, I will. That's the idea. And hopefully the trailer will be up by the time this episode of Oz Jams comes out too.
Fun tip for everyone. If you want to give Mix a birthday present, just send 15 minutes of you sitting outside working.
Now, that is a beautiful idea.
I'm going to do that. That's my birthday gift to Mix, is going to be 15 minutes of cars driving past my house.
Help me make a show. Yes. Done. Thank you. That's a great
birthday
idea.
Birthday call out. Good. Sounds good. Anything else happening for you?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
Not a lot. Yeah.
Just hanging out until we release another one of these.
Yeah, you know, got nothing else much to do. No. Prepping for the second half of the semester is sort of a full-time job and my other research role.
There is something, actually, that is going to happen probably before the next episode of this comes out, so I'll shout it out now. You definitely don't care about this. You seem interested. You're not going to care. The AFLW draft is on the 6th of October. It's at 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, I believe, and it's fully digital, unsurprisingly. So I would, if you're into footy at all, you can just stream it on the AFLW website. There's a lot of really exciting young talent in this year's Victorian draft in particular. So if you like footy at all, watch it, get engaged, get to know these players, because it's going to be an incredible season next year. That's all I care about.
No, that's fair.
Anyway, should we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
Go for it.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of International Marmalade. The bonus episodes, the monthly bonus episodes in the Australian Jams feed. We'll be back here in a month's time, roughly, give or take a month's
hopefully
time.
Hopefully out of lockdown by then.
Yes, and hopefully out of lockdown, maybe even able to record. Have we ever done one of these in person? We haven't, have we?
No.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think we'll be able to by then. No.
Look, true. But maybe once by the end of the year.
Maybe November,
yeah. We'll be able to do one in person. Yeah, that'll be great. Cool.
That's been Mix. I've been Gemma. Australian Gems will come back, I promise. I took a brief break. It'll come back in 2 weeks, so I'll see you then.
See ya.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.